You may think there are some obvious dangers in using a smartphone, but did you think of tendinitis or indeed eye strain? These are just some of the everyday risks of using your smart device, we're told. To discuss this, chartered physiotherapist Jenny Brannigan joins us on the programme. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Very well. You wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't a real problem. You've seen it, obviously.
Yeah, we're starting to see an increase in the numbers of people seeking our help for smartphone-related injuries. So it seems like it's becoming a bit of a modern affliction.
And while the implications may not seem serious, I presume they are quite serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, what it does is, the way we use our smartphones these days, it negatively influences our posture, and that can cause what we call an RSI, which is a repetitive strain injury. So if you think about, you know, people staring down at their phones for long periods of time when they're sitting on the bus, maybe when they're waiting for a train, when they're in a bar waiting for somebody, and even just during the day, people tend to pick up their phones much more now just to see, you know, what are the latest headlines on Twitter, what sort of news is coming in, what emails are they getting, social media. So they're using their phones an awful lot. They're staring down at their phones for very long periods of time. So they're having to support the weight of their head, which increases tension and stiffness then in the neck and in the muscles in the upper spine and the muscles between the neck and the shoulder, the upper trapezius muscles. So what that does then, it puts lots of pressure in these areas which are not designed to take this pressure. And really, I mean, one very easy way to stop that is actually to raise your phone as you use it rather than dropping the head when you use the phone. But from our point of view as physiotherapists then, what we're seeing symptom-wise, they're coming in with shoulder neck pain, they're coming in with headaches, pain down the arm, tingling, numbness sometimes even into the hand. So as I say, really to protect the neck and spine, people need to be raising their phone when they're on it rather than dropping their head to look at the screen.
So what are your clients or patients saying back to you when you tell them these ailments are indicative of, to do with mobile phone usage?
Well, actually, people don't tend to believe it. They don't see it as something that could cause them pain, and particularly because, I mean, we really love our phones here in Ireland. There's a very high rate of usage here in Ireland compared to other European countries. So certainly, people actually don't really believe us when we say that they need to start reducing the amount of time they spend on their phones. And certainly, you'll find a lot of people now will use their phones a lot for emails and for business reasons. So one of the things we try to get people to do to minimize that is to actually plan what they need to do during the day, and actually to plan their correspondence so that they can use a PC to send those emails to check certain things that they might be looking at rather than do all of that when they're on their phone. So, I mean, it's like anything, everything in moderation. You don't want to overdo it in a particular position that your body's not used to. So if you find that you're getting pain or stiffness or, in fact, you know, tingling, numbness, what you need to do straight away is stop the thing that's causing those symptoms. And if it, in this case, is using your phone, then we need to stop people using them as much. We need to reduce the amount of usage by getting them to take frequent breaks. And as I say, trying to plan what they're going to do, particularly if they're using it a lot for emailing. Because the way that they're going to email when they're typing it out very quickly, again, that's causing quite a bit of thumb tendinitis in people. And particularly, we're seeing this phenomenon in new mums who are spending more time on their smartphones as they're feeding their babies. So they're already susceptible to thumb tendinitis, tenosynovitis officially it's called.
Yes.
They're susceptible to that already at that phase of their life. So when they're on their phones then during the feeds, again, that's going to increase their risk of these tendon problems.
What about younger people when the body's still growing and developing? Could it have long-term implications for posture or general development?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, traditionally, you'll always see teenagers starting to slouch as, you know, they're starting to study more, they're in school more, they're sitting through classes. So the posture tends to slouch down a little bit more as people get into their teens. Also, it can be related to how quickly they're growing in relation to their peers. So if you have somebody who's very tall and then all their peers are a bit shorter, again, you'll see postural change from that point of view. So the smartphone usage now is adding to this already common postural problem in that age group. And if people in their teens develop poor postural habits, it's very hard to shake that. And as they become adults then, as they start to work, as they start to commute long hours, if they've already got negative postural problems, certainly that's going to add to that and cause them to get injured. And then, you know, they're likely to end up with painful symptoms sooner than they would have done if the smartphone thing starts to, you know, take a hold at this at that stage. You know?
Yeah, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised because most people would be familiar with, you know, ailments people can get with using a keyboard, perhaps more so back in the old days. I don't know, new keyboards tend to try and alleviate that. So it's not really terribly surprising if we put one and one together, we'll get two.
No, absolutely. I mean, we had this problem with PCs, and then people learned how to get the monitor to the right height, get their keyboard at the right height, and make sure that they had their workstations spaced out well. Then next thing that was the problem that came along was laptops, because the monitor was then stuck to the keyboard. Yeah. So either you had the laptop monitor at the right height or you had the keyboard at the right height. So then that became a problem for people, and they had to start using docking stations. The next thing now is the smartphones.
And so again, tablets too, which have a bit of weight to them as well. I suppose if you're holding the tablet with one hand, you know, yeah, it's not really what you're designed to do, as you point out. What about the impact on eyesight? What's the situation there, do you think?
Well, I mean, certainly that wouldn't fall within my scope of practice as physiotherapist, but, you know, it seems that that's something that they're looking at as well in relation to it, because people are spending a lot more time focusing on an object that has bright light emitting from it, and they're looking at it at close range. So, yeah, I mean, certainly that's something that will need to be looked at down the line.
Okay, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the programme. And it's a really interesting subject and something we should take heedance of, isn't it? Because if someone's listening to us and they are getting those tension headaches or bits of tingling and the other symptoms you talk of, it could well be smartphone usage.
That's it, absolutely. And the key is to nip it in the bud, like anything. The quicker you deal with an injury, the better. So if anybody listening has those symptoms and they are really on their smartphone a lot, you know, between work and social media, then yes, it's something to look at. They should go and see their chartered physiotherapist and see what they can do about it.
Definitely. Jenny Brannigan, chartered physiotherapist yourself, thank you so much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you for having me on, Greg.
Okay, thank you. And on the more extreme side of things, a selfie can kill, and it has killed indeed. There's been a few deaths linked to taking selfies. Indeed, earlier this month, a Japanese tourist died after apparently slipping on steps at India's Taj Mahal. Apparently, an eyewitness said the man had reportedly been taking a selfie at the time of the incident. And during the summer, Apple said it was investigating reports that a Chinese woman died after she was electrocuted while trying to make a call with her iPhone while it was charging. Okay, that's it for now. We'll be back with more very shortly. Stay tuned. Delighted to welcome in back to the studio again onto the weekend edition Rory Friel and Aidan McCafferty. Gentlemen, thanks so much.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
Thanks for coming.
Not too bad. You've left the rest of In Their Thousands behind today. Give them a lie-in.
Yeah, a lie-in is right. One of them's on holidays in Greece at the moment. So,
okay. Unfortunate for him, isn't it?
Deggy's in Greece, somewhere in a Fiat Panda, I think.
Yeah.
And come here, tell us about Andromeda Artisans, because that's really why we wanted to get you in. Obviously, we're not going to let you in here and let you out without a piece of music, but it's an interesting concept. What is it? Who wants to take this one?
Well, I suppose Andromeda is kind of it's a local music collective. It's kind of set up to educate and empower musicians, I guess, to, you know, to become more aware of the business of music, you know, and what exactly they should be doing, not just writing songs and you know, creating videos, but the business aspects of things too, you know.
And like, you guys could, you know, stay at home, write your music, go out, gig, tour, concentrate fully on what you're doing, maybe your own little solo project. Why would you get involved in this?
I suppose you kind of, in music now, you have to be a jack of all trades, you know. You have to do the management end of things, you have to do the admin end of things, as well as the creative side of things, you know. You have to just be omnipresent nearly, you know, in all these things.
Because a lot of the time your bands are paying to get their own music together, paying to promote it themselves, and booking their own gigs. I mean, it's a business, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice to do something along with your friends as well, you know, and the whole community. There always has been a very strong community of music here in Donegal. You know, people would be very forthcoming with their advice. They'd help, everybody would help each other anyway. But I suppose this is, in a formal way, we're getting together and seeing how we can bring this microcosm of burgeoning music in Donegal, of which there's so much, and see if we can find a way to get it out to the wider world, you know, together.
You know, we talk about there's so much music. There's a lot of counties could claim that, blah, blah, blah. But it's the quality of the music that's being produced, and the quality of the artists and the quality of the musicians and the songwriting as well, particularly. Like on this show, we're lucky enough to have live music pretty much every week. Of course, then on the Monday night sessions as well, there's lots of local talent, but it's all quality talent. You know, we're blessed, aren't we?
Yeah, there's loads of, I mean, the songwriters that had come out of Donegal, even like in the last couple of years, the people that we've become aware of that are writing songs, and that the ages that they're writing the songs, it's a very mature, maturing songwriting culture that's here, you know, I think.
So tell us more about this event then. How do you select the five bands, Rory?
Well, the five bands are from the roster of artists that are Andromeda Artisans, of which there's 10 at the moment. So there's going to be two showcase gigs, one on Friday the 9th, next Friday, and one on Friday the 6th of November. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be five of the acts that are on the roster each of the nights.
Excellent. And it's in the RCC in Letterkenny this coming Friday. How do people get tickets if they want to go along?
Regionalculturalcentre.com. There's a book now link there. It's €8 in advance and €10 on the door.
That's a lot of entertainment for €8 if you book in advance, isn't it?
Absolutely. Five bands, yeah. Yeah, it'll be a long show. Loads of stuff. There's also a Facebook event, you know, you can follow the links through that. But yeah, I mean, that's loads of music for your €8, absolutely. Exactly.
I suppose if you're into live music in the locality, you know, it's a place to be.
Yeah, without a doubt. And if you guys are endorsing them, these bands are going to be pretty good, there's no doubt about that.
There's a good selection of bands, definitely.
Yeah, some of my favourite bands.
Yeah.
Full stop.
What about yourselves as a collective in their thousands? Where are you at the moment? Is in the writing process gigging, or is that a constant?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, we're in the process of coming together now and getting into another sort of creative phase. I think we're probably due a release, and I don't know what it's going to be, what format. If it's going to be an album or another EP or whatever, but we're definitely going to push for a release in spring of next year. So we're trying to get together with that, and we've a few live shows coming up as well. We've the Grey Inn Theatre again this year on the 27th
of
December.
Brilliant.
And
that's a nice gig, actually, mid Christmas, New Year's Eve.
I think we've a show then in Dublin in Shinné in November. I think it's the 20th of November. So there's a few little things I got there, you know, as well. But really, we're focusing on trying to create at the moment, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose you're looking towards next summer as well, and the festivals and new music and...
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure there. I wouldn't fancy it, I don't think.
Well, I suppose through Andromeda as well, we're going to have a series of singles being released, you know, probably every 4 to 6 weeks until early next year. So hopefully by that stage then we'll have new material to release, and we'll be putting on a bit of a push and trying to up the profile and get playing a lot of these festivals around the country as well.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear some of this music of these the bands that are taking place in the Andromeda Artisans. The name of that, where does that come from? Andromeda Artisans. It's probably very obvious to someone listening, but to me...
Yeah, it was actually Mark and Sundarajan, who lives in LA, who, we got together with those guys and formed the group. But the name, I think, they came up with the name, but Andromeda is the next galaxy over to this world.
Right.
So it's our friends out there.
So they're out of this world. Oh, yeah. Literally. Right, so it's Friday night, this coming Friday night, the RCC... in Letterkenny, and then there's another gig, another five bands on December the 6th. If you like live music at all, you have to be at this, and you can book online, get the whole night's entertainment for €8, and book on the night, and €10, that's still pretty good value for top quality entertainment.
A bargain.
Yeah. Right, what are you going to sing for us?
The song of ours and our thousands called For the Good of the Group.
Brilliant, guys. Music. Take it away. What a treat. Thank you.
If you feel out in the cold in this world, and you can't get in tune with the frequencies, I know a place. It's located between your ears, behind your eyes. Sometimes it's good to resist. Say resistance is suffering.
that starling for the good of the group. To nowhere in particular, throwing beautiful shapes. That star, darling, 'cause there's still love in this world. If you try flying for the good of the group, there's still love in this world. There's still love in this world. If you try flying for the good of the group, to nowhere in particular, throwing beautiful shapes, just flying for the good of the group. There's still love in this world. If you try flying for the good of the group, and look at that starling, darling.
Absolutely beautiful. It's amazing a song can sound so brilliant when all of you guys are up on the stage, and then cut it right back down to the basics and it's still... awesome. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for having us.
So the Andromeda Artisans on the 6th of November. What day? 6th of...
The 6th of 9th? November?
It's 9th. The 1st. I can't even know what month it is. October. So this coming Friday, the first five of the emerging bands from the Northwest performing at the RCC, €8 online or €10 on the night. And then on the 6th of November, another five fantastic new breaking through bands from the Northwest performing again at the RCC. And locally, if you want to see In Their Thousands on Green on the 27th of December.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a good night.
One for the Dublin folks and Shanae in November as well.
Shanae in November, so okay.
You can keep up to date with that. I think that'll be the only other gigs that we have. We're working hard on single and video releases, so we have another single due out in November as well with a video that's ready to go. So
brilliant.
Kind of looking forward to that
as well. We'll wait for that to drop, as I think the kids say. All right, Rory Friel and Aidan McCafferty, always a pleasure to chat to you and have you in. Thank you
good
so
man,
much.
Good man, Drake. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Cheers.
Tommy Maron, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Very good. On your day off as well from presenting the hugely popular show on Midwest Radio, you've spared the time to speak to us on a Saturday. You must be plugging something.
Well, yes, in a way, but also to say hello, Greg, I suppose. But yes, I am plugging something. As you know, The Real McCoy, 3 years on the road, a huge success. And I suppose it was always time for a follow-up. What that follow-up was going to be, I felt, had to be different. Mm. And I think we've hit the jackpot with a brand new show. It's a drama musical called Paddy. A very simple title, so simple that probably nobody ever thought of writing a play or a musical drama called Paddy.
And tell us about it. Give us an outline of the story of the play, Tommy.
Well, it's set in between rural Ireland in 1964 and right through the play drama. It's a 25-year sequence of a young man called Patrick Murphy, played by international singing star Tommy Fleming. He's making his debut on the stage as an actor. And young Patrick Murphy decides to leave home, to head to London, to the building sites, to make his fortune and promises to come home to his mother and to his heartbroken girlfriend within 6 months or a year, having made the money to buy the farm next door and make a life in Ireland. And like so many others, Greg, Patrick Murphy left, but sadly never returned to Ireland. And the actual story of Paddy, it's a musical drama, tells the story over 25 years of how Patrick Murphy arrives on his first night in London. He meets an old man called Paddy the Shovel Kennedy on a park bench, and his life takes a kind of a roller coaster of various emotions in the prevailing 25 years.
I know you're a modest person, but this show is already getting rave reviews. You must be personally delighted, because you never know when you sit down and start racking your brains and putting pen to paper how something will be received.
Absolutely. And, you know, the only way after a very successful show like It's the Real McCoy is down. So you have to do something that is really going to rock the boat that little bit differently. And that's why when I sat down with singer-songwriter Jerry Carney and we put Tommy Fleming into the equation, we came up with this. And yet the reviews have been quite spectacular, people saying that it's good enough to go to the West End or to Broadway. And we have employed the best set designers, lighting designers, a great crew of actors and actresses. There are 9 in the show, 12 original songs. And to be quite honest with you, you know, we're really, really excited about this project.
So Tommy Fleming was on board from the get-go then, was it? It wasn't a case that you approached him with the script? Because, of course, he's an incredibly busy man and would be incredibly selective with the projects he takes on, especially taking to the stage as an actor for the first time.
Yeah, this was a real gamble for Tommy Fleming. I mean, I had written the original script along with Jerry Carney, who approached me because Jerry had written this song called Paddy, which has been recorded by people like Mike Denver, Robert Mazzell, and many more. And the story of the song Paddy is all about this Irish immigrant, Paddy, who never returns home after leaving. And when we sat down and we had the original script written and scores for the 12 songs, we said, look, who could we get to play the leading role? Because we were really excited about the project. So why not contact somebody like Tommy Fleming? He read the script. He loved it. We sat down again. We restructured the script, restructured the songs, and came up with what I think is a really special show.
Brilliant. And people in this part of the world are going to get to enjoy it in the month of October.
Yeah, they are, because you see, Tommy Fleming, actually, he's flying out, I think, on Monday to Canada to do a tour. So we premiered the show last week in the Royal Theatre Castlebar. And Tommy goes to Canada. He comes back, I think, on Sunday week. And then we go on a nationwide tour. We're only doing literally a few dates west of the Shannon, unfortunately. We are in Derry in, I think, in the middle of November. But we are doing 2 nights in on Greenon in Letterkenny on the 23rd and 24th of October, which is Friday and Saturday night, just over 2.5 weeks away. Now, we put the Saturday night on sale just over a week and a half ago. That's almost completely sold out.
Wow.
So on Greenon, we're in touch with us, said, look, could you do the Friday night as well? So we are. So we put the Friday night on sale just on Thursday. So we're really looking forward to 2 really exciting nights with Paddy, the drama musical, in on Greenon in Letterkenny.
Superb. And just for the audience, for those listening, is it a family show?
Yeah, very much. You know, there's an awful lot of emotion. It's a roller coaster of emotion. There's lots of comedy in it. There's lots of sadness in it as well. You know, I always said with It's the Real McCoy, bring a hanky. That was so you'd laugh a lot.
And
there's a lot of emotional moments in this production as well.
Yeah.
And the songs, Greg, and I hope you'll be able to come and see this one, are really special, and it really adds to the whole flavour of the production. So everybody, you know, from comedy to emotion, it's there. It's 2 hours, 20 minutes long, and when people meet us after the show, an awful lot of them genuinely are just speechless.
Brilliant.
Because in every home in Ireland,
it's a story that will resonate. Exactly, it's a story that will resonate with people. And I think that's probably what the attraction has been so early in the early reviews. Tommy, I look forward to it. Hopefully, I really wish I can get along and to chat you again, of course.
Yes.
Given the fact that you were my boss. We might as well
I tried.
You did, and look what happened. God help us.
Yes.
Listen, I'm delighted to hear that Paddy's been so well received, because you had a tough act to follow with It's the Real McCoy. I don't know where you get the time, Tommy, but you do, and we can't wait to have you up here on the 23rd and the 24th in the fantastic Greenon Theatre, starring, of course, international superstar Tommy Fleming.
Yeah, I would. And I would genuinely advise listeners to book those tickets fairly early, because genuinely they're going like hotcakes.
I know exactly what you're saying. This is not just a plea to... I know they are. You could miss out if you don't get in quickly, really, is the message.
Absolutely.
All right. And Derry in November. You might get some confirmation of that date as well, obviously, because people in Derry would be very interested in getting along. And we'll throw that all up on our Facebook. And we're going to hear, Paddy, now that track. I suppose that the play, really... The track...
Well, the title track of the
play.
Production, yeah.
Okay. Tommy Maron, as always, thank you so much.
Greg, thank you, and to Yvonne as well.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From his window, he sits back and watches people come and go on the way, rushing to catch the train homeward, he often did in his day. He remembers the dark of the mornings and the days he worked in the rain, the good times, the bad times, and the friends that he knew. He'll never see them again. At night when the streets are deserted, except for the takeaway sign, of the men that he worked with on the buildings, the roads, and the mines, the girl that he met in the galley, he thought he might make her his own. Maybe if there was less drinking, he wouldn't have wound up alone.
He is more powerful when put to the test. A is for always doing your best. B is for do it if it can be done. And D is for drinking when working was done.
Okay, there you go. That's the title track, Paddy, there.